Hello again. You're back with Mac and Jamie for Can You Believe That? We have a great show lined up for you today. We cover all our usual topics and subjects that we cover pretty much every episode. This week we have a segment on cops, just law in general. We'll cover politics, definitely with Super Tuesday just behind us. And we have some miscellaneous articles. Everything we talk about comes from the news and things that just make us ask, you know, can you believe that when you read it? So,
Actually, sometimes for me, it makes me say WTF if we're trying to make it as family friendly as possible.
I know. And that name is probably already taken. So
several times.
Can you believe that? But, yeah. Most of these things, when we read them, we're screaming out at the top of our lungs when we see it.
Yeah.
So each
and week, excuse me if I cough, people, I'm just getting over the flu.
So each week we look at the articles and the news that, like I said, make us question why we're here or why other people are here on this earth.
The sanity of the world.
And generally our topics focus on race and those issues in those areas, law, politics, and America in general.
Right.
So without further ado, let's get started. And the way we normally do this is I'll bat it up, read the article out, and Matt hits it back to some responses, and then we talk about it.
Yep.
So, first article comes from CNN. Raleigh officer involved shooting spurs state investigation. So, the background of this, this just occurred, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday.
Okay.
So, there was a man they were chasing because the cops believed he had a felony possession for drugs. He was running, this young man, 24 years old, was running from the cops. It was broad daylight, lots of people out, and the cops shot him multiple times as he went over the fence. From behind, they claimed that he had a gun, but they haven't released any proof or evidence of this. And the mother was nearby. She actually was there shortly after the shooting in time to confront the cops. Did you hear about this, Matt?
Yeah, I did. And the article that I read quoted a witness as saying the cop shot him through the fence because the cop was mad that he couldn't make the jump over the fence. I hate to say it, but if you wear a badge with me nowadays, unless I personally interact with you and you're actually nice to me, I believe the people who say you're a piece of scum. Sorry, because I've seen too many cops get away with too many murders in this country. You know, that's not to say that every police officer is a bad person. That's not to say every police officer is a bad human being. But, you know, Walter Scott, same state, wasn't
he? No, he was South Carolina.
I mean,
North Carolina.
This is it's a Carolina, close enough. You know, the man is clearly running away when the officer shoots him in the back, and they caught that on film. Now that this one, apparently this young man who was shot in the back, and he may have been doing wrong. Nobody's saying he didn't commit a crime, but just because you committed a crime does not mean you were supposed to be executed on the spot. You know, so I don't believe anything the officers or the city or any, I don't believe anything any of them have to say because they've been caught around the country, not just this area, but around the country. They've been caught in too many lies.
Yes, and
far too many lies.
What's odd about, well, not odd, but a coincidence with this is that the Raleigh City Council had just met to discuss body cameras for officers on that same day, but they removed the item from the agenda after the shooting.
Well, they didn't want to. They didn't want a whole bunch of people showing up.
They were going to do it because of not just the interest nationwide, but because of issues within their own state, their area, with the cop shootings.
Right. my thing is, what always annoys me with the whole thing, and this is a small tangent, is you have these officer-involved shootings where a young person of color, black or Hispanic usually, is shot in the back, shot while running away. A lot of times there's no weapon. The officer says, I was in fear of my life. And, okay, you were in fear of your life. They're dead. So what? You were in the right. You're a police officer. When all of these white suspects who actually shoot at the cops, swing knives at the cops, punch the cops, fight the cops, left, right, backwards, and forwards, and we've seen it on how many cop shows on TV, these people go to jail.
Yep.
These people get to go to trial.
Definite disparity there.
You know,
minorities and think, response contact
it's absolute
towards
disparity
minorities
there.
And towards people who are, you know,
right,
have less pigment.
Yes, and I mean, look, if we were as dangerous as we get made out to be, wouldn't we be killing cops left, right, backwards, and forwards? I mean, we would be killing them on sight. I mean, that's not what's happening here. This is people trying to run from the police or run from something, or yep, they're walking down the street minding their own business.
And as we've
covered
on here many times, you know, the numbers don't bear out the thoughts that people have based on the media reporting of who's doing the crimes and the proportionality between
right,
all the different nationalities in the country. They're all about even. So.
Right.
Yeah.
They're within 10% of each other.
Yeah. So our next article comes from Ars Technica, which is weird because that's a tech site I go on, but it's a Texas cop indicted for searching car of activists filming the police. So, this happened in Galveston, Texas.
Right.
There was a man who was filming cops, and they told him, yeah, he's just trying to protect his First Amendment rights, and he was trying to just record what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Officer got argumentative, asked him to identify himself. The man refused to identify himself, but he asked what crime he had committed. The guy told him, you're being suspicious because you're taping and videotaping people's license plates, because this guy has set himself up basically across the street from the police station. So then they arrested him and went through all his stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
Cop found out that, guess what? He wasn't breaking the law, and you actually broke the law. So they indicted him. Now, we'll see what comes of this, as usual.
Yep.
We saw, this. We could tie this into another arc because it,
probably nothing.
And on Friday, there was a case in Philadelphia where the judge there decided that in those circumstances or certain circumstances, you don't have a right to film the police. In that case, though, they were saying that because the people didn't identify that they were trying to execute their First Amendment rights, they said that they were just filming because they found the situation
mm-hmm.
interesting. So he said that wasn't enough justification to protect their First Amendment right. So they didn't have a right to film the police. There's, you know, a lot of debate on that.
Right.
But it didn't set any precedents and wasn't binding anywhere for in that case.
Well,
but what do you think about all that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that, you know, there are situations where I think, okay, yeah, you don't have any business filming anyone anywhere. But anything that the police are doing in public, in the open, that involves another citizen, my understanding is that,
right,
the general public is free to film as long as they're not interfering with. The amazing thing is, the police tend to go into this instant, you're not allowed to film, it's against the law for you to film. And it used to be
right,
that a cop could do that and get away
yep.
with it because most people wouldn't know. See, now people know. So, but the cops are still trying to pull that. And in the first article you mentioned, it turns out that the cop was the one who broke the law. You're there to enforce the law. If you're enforcing it, you should at least know it. But they don't. They make it up as they go along. And usually because they're given the benefit of the doubt because they wear a badge and their job is stressful, I'm not saying that it isn't, they're allowed to get away with things.
Oh, just think back to when we were younger, how many times you or I would follow the cop's instructions because I have the badge and the gun. It's like, but we are, you know, we have some knowledge of
how many,
what our rights are, even though we were young, because both of us are students of, you know, things like the Constitution, law, and all that stuff.
Right.
But, no, a lot of times the response is, well, I have the gun.
Right.
It gives me the power. I have the badge. I have the authority.
Yep.
Oh.
How many times was it, why are you stopping me? You fit the description. Of who? You know? Of what? I'm walking down the street minding my own business. I got a carton of milk. I got comic books. I got empty pockets. I'm just trying to go home. But I'm getting stopped because I fit the description of what? If I fit the description, if I was who you were looking for, don't you think I'd be running? Or, oh, God forbid, I was jogging somewhere or something.
So, next article. excuse me.
Those folks.
Comes from...
We now have the name of
the Griot. A black couple killed in police shooting were unconscious inside the vehicle when the officers arrived. So it was a man and a woman. They were in the car in Inglewood, California.
Yeah.
For at least 45 minutes, the police attempted to rouse them. And they said at some point they were conscious because somebody felt threatened, the usual.
Of course.
And so they shot them, which even reading the article, I'm really confused as to why they shot them.
They opened fire. Well, they're claiming that the woman had a gun in her lap. Or something like that. I don't believe it. B, I want to know where you get all these cowards to wear badges from. I mean, I thought police were supposed to be the bravest of the brave, but they're so scared of everything, they just start throwing bullets at stuff. And I don't understand. I really don't understand. Now, here are two people that know each other, possibly on a date, seven kids between them. Maybe they got high and fell asleep. Maybe they worked 17 jobs and went out on a date and got tired and fell asleep in the car together while talking.
They were out.
Who knows?
You know, enjoying the evening. So.
Yeah.
But who could be threatened by people sleeping in a car and... Again, reading the article, I would like to see if they follow up because there's not a lot of detail to give you the just cause for the cops shooting at them. I mean, I understand it was dark and everything, but you assume they shine flashlights into the car or whatever.
Right.
And they should have been able to see they're sleeping. They didn't have a weapon on them.
And if you wake somebody up and you startle them, they're going to jump. They're going to jump. They're going to move funny. And all of a sudden, there are bullets flying into the car. I mean, come on, man.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. What in the world? And now these two people are dead. You have seven kids out there who are now short a parent. Because... we got a bunch of cops who felt threatened.
Yeah.
By what? These people weren't speeding.
And this is
they
the other
weren't
thing
running.
Me with
they
this
weren't
article,
threatening anybody.
As it is
put down their dead.
But, they bring up that the father who got killed had convictions for unlawful possession of a loaded firearm in 2009. Yeah, but it's a constant pattern.
Okay, but what does that have to do with him being asleep in the
car?
But
this is my thing. It's a constant pattern.
And you don't know these information. You don't know this information.
Report on it. They have to go back searching to see if they had criminal convictions and put that in there. That was not relevant to this at all because, for one, they can't prove that they had a gun. Two, they said that they thought the gun was in the woman's hand. That's what they reported over the radio. But even still, you know, what does that have to do with this case?
Nothing. Nothing at all. And again, it's like, dude, I'm pretty sure that, God forbid, something happens to me or something happens to Dave, and they go back and they start searching through our Facebooks and they find that picture you took of us with those plastic water guns 20 some odd years ago. They try to use that to say, see, they were violent. What?
Right.
It's a plastic, these are plastic water guns. These aren't real. These are too young. These are just ridiculous that we constantly had these things where If it's a person of color, specifically the group we talk about, because it's black people, where something that I may have done 40, 25, 30 years ago will be used against me if something should happen to me now. Not only is that not fair, that's ridiculous.
Well, and it colors what's going
because
to
I'm not the same person I was 25 years
and in the public eye as they read these things because, you know, if they talk about what this guy has done now, you know, he had turned his life around. He was working full time as a truck driver, you know, so he may have been convicted of this charge way back in 2009. Mm. Again, it had no bearing on the present, but it's enough to make certain people just think, oh, well, they deserved it. And I'm sure that'll be the excuse, for cops, even though, I mean, what I doubt they even had a gun.
Right. I do, too. I don't believe they had a gun. That would be like when way back in the day of Peabody, I took what was termed a mini law course in civics class, and the lawyer who was giving the lectures would talk about Shadyside, a neighborhood here in Pittsburgh, and how if you were black, you better not be in this neighborhood after a certain time. Or he would say that when he would go to a trial and it would be a black defendant, the attitude of the jury was, well, it doesn't matter whether this person is innocent or not. The cops stopped them. They must have done something, so they're guilty of something. And it's a shame to say that that's still what goes on here in the world today, in America in 2016. And I took that class in 1989,
1990. Well, so, here's our next article, also from the Griot. A Salt Lake City teen holding broomstick, shot in chest and stomach by police and sparks unrest. So you want to give a rundown on what happened there?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I remember the article correctly, apparently there was some type of altercation or fight. Police were called. The police show up. And if I remember right, the person that he was with, his friend, said the cops run up and tell him, drop whatever you have. It was a broomstick, a piece of a broomstick. Tell him to drop it. But before he can even react to the police.
Yeah, they said as soon as
he shot,
started to put it down. They told him to put it down once and then started shooting him as soon as he turned around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And again, why are these, I mean, I thought you were always supposed to identify your target. I thought you were always supposed to know what your target had or have. It wasn't nighttime. You could clearly see it as wasn't a bladed weapon. He was obviously far enough away from the police that
Violence, you know, first response, again,
ridiculous. Why are these people cops if they're that scared for their life all the time?
Other people who saw this started shouting at the cops and throwing rocks at them, and they had to get officers from three other departments to come and help out the officers that initially responded so they get out of there. They even had to stop a light rail that ran past the area because the neighborhood just got up in arms and were so upset about this.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. Even a step further, we had another article from HuffPost.
And it's more than a third of people shot by LAPD in 2015 were mentally ill. So for 2015, 37% of the people who were shot by cops were reported as mentally ill compared to 19% for 2014.
Mm-hmm. The police are just getting more and more trigger happy. I mean, it's, I know they have a hard job. I know they deal with the worst in society, but excuse me, but at some point, these excuses have to stop being made for these people. You were put in there to do a job. You were put there to uphold the law, not be judge, jury, and executioner.
You know, this being a cop issue, not just a race issue, as far as on the cop side, we like to think, oh, you know, cops think white officer shooting ethnic people or, in this case, mentally ill or whatever. But in this case for California, most of the shootings were by Hispanic officers, 55%, 29% were white, 18% mm-hmm. Asian or Pacific Islander, and black officers were involved in just 6% mm-hmm. of these incidents with mentally ill. So again, it goes back to just that power and position that comes with being a cop and that responsibility that, you know, seems to go to some of their heads a little too much.
Right. Yes, it does. I mean, I don't know. Do the police need more training before they're allowed on the street? Do they need more screening? I mean, what does it take in order? I mean, let's be honest, man. You and I dealt with some bigoted cops in our youth. We had friends we knew who got tuned up, beat up on some, but they came home alive. And I'm not defending those cops or saying they were right, but they came home alive. What has made police so trigger happy?
I think it is training is a big part of it, and culture.
Now,
because
and I mean,
these problems are only solved when you see from the very top that it's not acceptable. And the only way this can continue the way it is because the leadership of these police departments across the country have not signaled enough to their troops that this is not acceptable behavior. And the training part comes into where you're trained on the proper ways to de-escalate, which they do have that training for cops, and I'm sure they've all gone through some of it, but then you reinforce it by making them pay when they mess up. So you've got those examples, and I don't mean just picking someone and then purposely being harsh with them, but following the letter of the law and the punishment that goes with the crimes that they have committed. So start sending cops to jail for murder when they unlawfully kill a civilian. That's showing that you are standing behind the law and the training.
Right.
And it'll, word will get out. That's how you weed out racism and things, you know, because departments, even though it's still rife with racism, I don't think it's as bad as it was before, but now we've got the flip mm-hmm. side where you have the racism plus the right. ability to kill with impunity. Those two do not go together well at all.
Right. No, not at all. I mean, I noticed the difference from that. I mean, Pittsburgh has had its problems with the police. And I think when yes. I went out to Arizona, you had already moved overseas. But yes. it was within a couple years of you leaving me going out there. And one of the first things that I noticed from watching the news in Phoenix was how trigger happy the cops were out there. Pittsburgh cops? I mean, there might have been
right.
a police-involved shooting every couple years at that time. And I'm talking like 97, 98. I got the Phoenix here in Phoenix 3 months. There were at least 7 police-involved shootings while I was there. And one of them was a guy was drunk and had a bottle in his hand and he didn't drop it because the cop wanted to, so he shot him. I'm like, what? This is stuff that in Pittsburgh they would have knocked the bottle out of your hand, beat you right. down, put you in handcuffs, and you would have went to the drunk tank overnight. This cop just killed this guy. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, city of Pittsburgh cops were some mothers right. back in the day.
Well, it makes me wonder too what the psychological.
They weren't killing people left and right.
Cops go through.
I mean,
and is it one of those situations where you make it through the initial,
yeah.
and then. Pretty much once you're in, you're in.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, you see these police unions are so quick to defend everything. Well, except for that yes. cop. Except for the Asian cop in New York that just got convicted of killing the guy on the steps. You know, usually they're so quick to jump in and defend these officers, and these officers get away with it because right. a jury doesn't seem to want to convict the cop for anything. You know, it's probably in a contract. No, you don't get psychological testing. You don't have to. And I mean, another way of looking at it is,
yes.
I mean, now that I've even seen police shows from other countries, you know, cause,
okay.
There was a couple that I saw that they imported to the States from Canada, Rookie Blue and Flashpoint. I've watched those. I've watched a couple cop shows from England, and it's almost always the same thing. The cops are always presented, even when they're a little dark, even when they're a little, they're always in the end the good guy. You know, very rarely do we see the right. officers portrayed where they're like not good ever, or if there is a crooked cop, eventually they meet their end or they go to jail or something. I mean, there's always that, but 9 times out of 10 almost every portrayal of a cop is as a good cop. Like they don't do wrong, they don't cross lines.
If
they do cross
a
line, it's for a good reason, you know, that type of thing.
It's just the truth that we need cops. And we need people to trust the authority of cops. We need people to not question.
Yeah, we do.
When they come out there and they're trying to handle situations. I mean, on a broader scale, that's what you want to happen. And so the more they destroy our trust in their
right.
institution by these cases that we keep seeing without any end, it's counterproductive
right.
to them as well. So you would think at some point
right.
they're going to have to deal with this stuff head on, because cops have to have that authority to say, look, you need to leave here or step
right.
back, and then people do it without question. And that is how you keep people safe. But when they go to just
right.
shooting everyone for nothing,
right.
then it's like you're going to think twice when a cop pulls you over and asks you to step out of the car and there's no one else around.
Yeah. I'm afraid. And you know what? Here's the thing. You are within your right. If a cop pulls up behind you in the car, you are well within your rights
yep.
to go to some place that's well lit. that you feel comfortable. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to run. But
how is that
you can go somewhere
you know
where there are other
arrest.
People and you feel safe. That's the law. That's the law. Exactly. And that is the type of, and that's the type of craziness that makes it even harder and even harder for somebody like me to trust the police. I haven't had a bad run-in with the police in years. But knowing what the things, the run-ins that I had with police when I was a kid, the run-ins that I know of friends of mine having with the police, and the things that I see in the news, why am I going to trust a police officer who's just pulling me over and they instantly start yelling at me?
Well, speaking of that,
I'm now in fear for my life.
Comes more under the crime heading and not necessarily police. And this was on Huffington Post. A white man allegedly shoots at black sheriff candidate's office. So as a teenager in Texas, this teenager, Adam Carver, 19, yelled a couple racial epithets at this campaign office. It was Zena Stevens is the name of the woman who's running for sheriff. So they were outside in front of her office. He shouts at them, then shoots towards... the description says shot towards a female that was in the parking lot. Miss Stevens was the female. Said no one was hurt. They eventually caught him and found a .22 and a rifle, a BB gun and a rifle in their Jeep. Through questioning, he admitted that he did it. And what I want to know is, why is this not a terrorist act?
Yeah, the reason it's not termed a terrorist act is because in the eyes of America, he ain't a terrorist. They generally don't consider white guys that haven't converted to Islam
a Muslim
to be terrorists.
Who was shooting at, say, someone who was at the MEP station signing up to join the military. What would that be classed? Right.
We'd be bombing a new country tomorrow. And did you add in the part, because I said, I got cut out, where he was screaming racial epithets, and then unloaded his weapon into this woman's office. She's just trying to do the right thing. She's running for sheriff.
And there were 20 people inside.
She's trying to be law enforcement.
She may not
How
be
is this dude
yet,
not a terrorist?
Imagine someone going to shoot at one of the current presidential hopefuls. That would be considered, a terrorist act.
Yeah.
It's terrorism, plain and simple.
Terrorism.
So,
that would be a terrorist act. Yes.
The mislabeling is just an unfortunate event. Random act of violence. It's like, this was not random. It was planned. He knew who he was shooting at. He knew why he was shooting at that person. And it was for a political nature, which to me.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
But.
Well, I think that fits
the
dictionary definition.
See what happens. But this is the thing. He's under medical supervision now.
Oh, so we're going with the, he had a mental break, so we're going with the same excuse as the movie theater shooter, shooter who killed all those innocent children, the idiot who ran around in the last couple of weeks and just randomly shot six people.
These type of acts, they're
the Uber driver.
Yeah. If a black person does it, they must be a criminal because they'll dig up their stuff from the past. If they're from another country, or especially if they're Muslim, then they're terrorists. All the same act with the same results. People dying from gunshots.
Yes, but just remember, we live in a post-racial America where everybody's equal. Wait a minute. Dang, well, was that sarcasm?
For crime, unless you want to add something else more for our usual police behaving badly section.
Well, let me see. You know what? I don't think so.
Well,
I think there was something I had, but I think
then,
it was for a different section when we got to it.
First, we'll talk about some of the goings on in Washington before we get into the Super Tuesday and our responses to that. So, first up is an article from New York Times. Obama sends plan to close Guantanamo to Congress. So, we know that Guantanamo has been a sticking point. This was one of the campaign pledges that the president made that he would close it before he left. I honestly thought that it would have been closed during his second term early on, you know, or once he got reelected. I thought that one of his things to really push forward on. But at the same time, it's a complicated issue militarily and politically, not necessarily so much for our country, but for the other countries. Some of these people that have been released from Guantanamo already, we know, went straight back to fighting us in Afghanistan, Iraq, and these other places. So I think it should have been closed, but I can understand the background stuff that may have prevented that. But he is trying now, and oddly enough, where do you think he got opposition to closing Guantanamo?
Let me see. Could it be Congress? Mostly some Republicans. No. They never wanted it closed. So that's the thing. They never wanted it closed.
Weren't they complaining earlier on?
Especially under him.
After he got
but they don't want to waste. But they don't want to waste money. But they don't want to waste money. Well, you know, that's the general. That's a general Republican thing. You said you were going to do this. You keep saying you won't let me do this. But you said you were going
to
do this. You won't let me do this.
They're against him. But guess what? He's also getting a lot of blowback from Democrats too.
Again.
Who say they're skeptical of his strategy because this is the main sticking point for these people. These men who are in there are dangerous. You know, they got rid of all the minor people or people who were
they're the worst of the worst.
In the first place. So the ones that are there are hardened terrorists. Well, they're going to the plan is to place them in Max pens, supermaxes in the states.
Supermaxes.
So
I see no problem with this. What I don't seem to understand from let me ask the Democrats that are going against this, are these Democrats in like hotly contested areas with their seats up for grabs
it's kind of
like
areas.
A swing thing?
Where they have these prisons, like those are the people who don't want these terrorists coming into their areas, even though they have, I listened to an interesting show where they were talking to some of the guards and, oh my gosh, I forgot the person that runs the prison. I forgot the name for it. Just slipped my mind. Yeah, the wardens of these prisons who, say,
warden,
we deal with dangerous people all the time. This is what we're built for. We can handle it. It'd just be another body. But the people don't want it, just like they don't want cell towers, even though they cry because they don't have cell service in their area and all those other things.
Everybody agrees
exactly.
People should have help getting off drugs, but nobody wants a drug treatment place in their backyard.
When they say, there's no precedent for this, have you not remembered? I think we kept the Germans and prison camps in America twice, two wars. We kept Italians.
We kept the Germans in prison camps twice. We actually shipped Germans from the battlefield of World War II over here.
Oh yes.
To be held.
I think I had covered that on one of
they actually got treated better than the black troops.
Black Valor podcast. How some the blacks were getting upset with the Germans. They treated better than
yes,
them
you did.
Wound up killing some of them in a riot. But anyways, that's a tangent.
Yes. Yeah. But there's a tangent. So now you don't want this, but it's now costing, it's not cost effective to keep Guantanamo Bay open.
Right.
There's not enough people there to justify its existence as a prison. So why not bring them over here to existing places and throw them in the ditch you want to throw them in anyway? Last I checked, Khalid
yes.
Sheikh
mm-hmm.
Mohammed is in yes. a supermax in the United States. He's not in Guantanamo Bay. And for those who don't remember who that
him,
guy
well,
is,
he went through the court
he was one of the major planners
the
of 9/11.
Too, which, I mean, these people, some at military tribunals, they're some who
yes.
went through courts in the States, depending on where their crimes occurred and everything, obviously. But there's about 30 to 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if they were to upgrade the existing prison in Cuba, it would cost $475 million. But by bringing these people to the States, they're going to save $85 million annually.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you have Republicans who claim to be fiscal, waste of money, who are against this. And the Democrats who, I don't know what they're
I saw another thing today.
I can't tell anymore with some of them.
On a payday loan stuff. They now have a Democrat supporting that, the Republicans and that, after they put in the law to finally get those people under Hill.
Oh.
Democrat from Florida, the great state.
Oh, the great state of dum-dums,
so,
for the most part?
Yeah, so that's where that stands.
Florida. Oh, Florida.
Another thing where they're pretty much blocking the president. Because there's a law already that says they
mm-hmm.
can't bring people. Congress was quick to pass that. So they'd have to remove that in order for this to happen, which they don't even want to fill the justice seat on the Supreme Court. So good luck with that.
They're not going to do. Right. Yeah, really.
So next on politics.
It's tiring. It really is.
And we'll just talk about this briefly,
mm-hmm.
but there's an article in The Atlantic which is worth reading. It's Debtor's Prison in 21st Century America. And we did talk about this a little
mm-hmm.
bit too when we were going over Ferguson last year. But they have found that they really haven't changed their
mm-hmm.
rules much in those regions around Ferguson, just in the St. Louis area. Where they're still getting money primarily from imprisoning poor people for minor offenses. And that's how they're funding their governments. And so there's little incentive for them to not imprison people, even though they know they can't pay. In some cases, they are, you know, costing them jobs and inconveniencing them. Then when they're certain that they don't have money, then they'll let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know when I was there, the big thing was you had a lot of people who had dropped out of work because they couldn't work. They were afraid of getting arrested the minute they stepped out of their doors. And so you were just further exacerbating the area. But what do you think of that as this new form of debtor's prison?
I think that A, it's unconstitutional and illegal, which I'm pretty much sure we all know. But it doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't surprise me that none of these local governments who were being told that they have to change and have to stop doing this, I'm not surprised in the least that they're not changing their ways because the feds aren't going to go and jump up and down on their neck and make them change it. It's like recently there was a story out of Texas similar. This guy had defaulted on his student loans, and they sent federal marshals to get him and take him, and he got put in jail for a couple of days, if I remember the story correctly. It's wrong. You should pay your debts, but last time I checked, that had been ruled unconstitutional years and years and years ago.
Saggy pants. Property upkeep tickets, So chip paint or trash can violations. And so people are going to jail for this. Seat belts. And again, I'm not just, obviously you, but things have to be proportional. Now, can you imagine in a suburban area with well-off houses that you're going to be arrested and sent to jail because you have chip paint on your house or your trash can is tipped over and it's out in the streets, or your kids are wearing saggy pants or you.
Or Lord forbid, you cut your grass every 3 weeks instead of every 2.
There's a one woman, Kiana Williams. She's a 37-year-old single mother. She was driving without a license, which wrong. You don't drive without a license. She was 19 at the time. Got ticketed.
Yeah.
She missed her court date again. You have a court date. You need to make it. So they arrested her, held her on a $250 bond. She couldn't afford to pay. So eventually they realized, she doesn't have the money. So they let her out. She didn't go in front of a judge or anything, but she still had the fine. So it went back and forth. They would come around every now and again, arrest her until, you know, they realized, she can't pay. So this went on for a total of like 4 months, or she spent a total of 4 months in jail for this unpaid tickets and warrants because, you know, each time they tack on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she decided that she would go to college to get a degree so she can get a job to pay these fines and get her family out of debt. She was 12 credits shy of her degree, and she was arrested again for the tickets. So, again, I'm not justifying any of those things like missing court dates and driving without a license. But mistakes like that should not be enough to derail your whole life.
Exactly. And that's what you see a lot of in places where, you know, they had these governmental setups. I trace this back 30, almost 40 years to when the feds just started cutting money out of stuff that had been being used to help the states. You know, and now you have these little small local governments who don't have the tax base, can't afford to support themselves, can't afford to cut any more than they cut. So who are they going to go mess with? They're not going to go mess with the suburban people who are in the government. They're going to go mess with the poorest people they can find who they feel have no power.
You know, these city states or cities and saying that, well, we're trying to make excuses for these people. Let's think about someone else who was driving without a license, killed 4 people. And what happened to that kid? Mr. Affluenza?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He's a grown
man. Mr. Affluenza teen. He keeps getting called Affluenza teen. He's a grown man. He was a grown man from the get-go.
And so you're talking about proportionality?
Nope.
She had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now he's just now going to probably do time in jail.
But if he had kept his nose clean, he would have had any.
Him and his mama jumped up and ran.
Yes. And no record. It was him continuing to break
and no record and no record
in trouble after the law had already let him go. Now this woman, she had been assaulted by an ex-boyfriend
with impunity.
And then when the officers came, they asked her to step outside. They arrested her for unpaid parking tickets and let the guy go who assaulted her. So this woman, from the time she was 19 to the present, has faced nothing but problems, all stemming from driving without a license at that young age. But it's a very good article, so go to the Atlantic and check that out. Then we have another here. A black woman testifies at Virginia voter ID trial. So this is trial that's going on, which has touched off a lot of debate. There's a 69-year-old, a black woman. She grew up in a segregated town. and she was witness to all the craziness that came about before segregation was wiped away, for the most part. And she didn't have a photo ID that was considered acceptable based on the 2013 law that was in place there in Virginia, which was being challenged by the Democratic Party. So they gave her a provisional ballot, which was eventually counted.
But
the experience was so tough for her to just go through and vote. Someone who had been in this country from birth, who is now 69 years old, and they tell her that she didn't have the right identification because nothing had a photo ID. Well, early documentation, that's a more recent thing where you have the photo ID. So, again, you could say, well, why don't you just go get a photo ID?
Right. Which is what most people, which is what most of the people say, why don't you just go get one? Because it's so easy. You have to have an ID to go get on an airplane. I'm like, getting on an airplane is not voting.
Yeah.
You don't have a right to get on an airplane. You have the right to vote. You know, not having to prove who you are.
But I mean,
is an American
is,
right that's been upheld.
I disagree with that. I think that you should have some documentation that proves you're an American citizen.
No, I agree, but what I'm saying is it's been upheld that you don't have to prove who you are to anyone. You know, I mean, there are consequences you have to take for that. Like, I have to say, if I go get a job, here's my ID proving I am who I say I am. Okay, that's just for record keeping. But if I chose to live out in the woods and hunt my own food and do all this
like
within the law, I don't have to prove who I am to anyone.
Again, I understand what you're saying, but we've also seen a lot of voter fraud. And what I'm saying, though, is that if you have some state identification that proves you are who you say you are, that should be enough. And if you're 69 years old, she's probably been using the same identification for all this time,
and
then all of a sudden to be told, no, that's not good enough. You need to go out of your way to do something else.
Yeah. Right. And voter fraud is a myth. There's not any real voter fraud
like
in this country. I mean, it is 0.00001%.
I've seen other stuff.
Everything I've ever come across on it puts it at some ridiculously low number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about daily Chicago here.
I mean, that's
anymore.
I'm agreeing with you of what the law is, but I'm saying you should have something to prove that you are a citizen and eligible to vote. Then it should be a state document. I don't think it has to be some special thing with your ID or with your face on it or whatever. Anything that's going to cost you to go out of your way to get an identification to vote, I think that's wrong, which is why these laws or these court cases are coming up. Because that's what they are doing to disenfranchise people.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They're turning in the poll tax.
Have something, because again, going back to, we have a lot of undocumented people in this country, and if you were able to just vote without anything, which you can, there's the opportunity there for fraud.
Well, here in PA. When you register to vote, which is a lot harder now that Acorn is gone, the first time you go to a new polling place, like say me and my wife picked up and we moved to East Liberty. We're on the southern end of the city now, we moved to the eastern end of the city. Well, when we go to our new polling place, the first time you go in, you must show ID. So now you're on a record, and they've matched you to your voting record.
I think that's fine.
So now, after that, you don't have to show ID anymore. Okay, but what they're trying to say is that these people who have voted in these places for longer than I've lived in the place I live now,
all of a sudden,
their idea isn't any good and they can't vote.
Court cases are coming up and why they need to go through.
Right.
But, I mean, I've done this recently in North Carolina and New Jersey and Illinois and Virginia, and I haven't had any problem. And generally, it was part of the process of getting my driver's license or something like that, you know. So it was seamless to go ahead and do that. And even when I was, I remember specifically in Illinois getting my license, there were people that were going in there just to get the identification. So it was just a state identification. And also in Virginia, I think my daughter did that. So for jobs, you know, to apply for work. But like you're saying, if you've been going to those places, they have you on record, then that's, to me, yes, that's proof enough.
Right. And I mean, there are, now you have places like, I've heard a story of, Georgia where, and it, maybe I might have had a state wrong, where they're literally closing almost all of the DMVs in the state.
Yeah.
So people can't go get the ID they need so they can go vote. Here in Pennsylvania, that happened, back in 2012, when the previous presidential election, we literally had a Republican state senator say, now that we have this voter ID law, Mitt Romney's going to win Pennsylvania. Excuse me. And they were literally closing DMVs or PennDOT places. And, you know, the thing that I would try to explain to one of my coworkers who would ask me, why do you have a problem with it? I'm like, I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I have a problem with what they're trying to pull. If they said, we want to make this in by the next presidential election.
Right. So you got 4 years.
Or the presidential election after that, everybody has to have this form of ID. Okay, that's fine. You got 4 or 8 years. That's fine. But you dropped this now because you didn't like who won because basically, your candidate sucked. Now you're cheating. Now you're trying to disenfranchise people. Now you're showing your colors. You know, and she's like, well, why is it so hard? You just go get an ID. Like, you got an 80, 90-year-old person who hasn't seen their birth certificate, may not ever had a birth certificate, and you want them to go to the DMV, and you want them to just go to the DMV and get something. Yeah. Well,
and
why can't their family?
Okay,
I did it for my mother.
You have dual
family. Doesn't have
you still
family
have to go
like
get some documentation to give you authority then to act on their behalf, which means going to a notary or a lawyer.
Exactly. Right. And who said, like, my great-grandmother? My great-grandmother died at over 100 years old.
Yeah.
If we have our timing and dates right, where's she getting a birth certificate from? Did she even have a birth certificate? Hello? Anybody? So what are you trying to pull here? And not every state is as well developed as, I'm sorry, the East Coast states and the West, and California. So you got these wide swaths of rural land where you may have to drive an hour and a half to get to some place for you to get your driver's license or to try to get the ID, let alone try to get your birth certificate or whatever or whatnot if you don't have it in house.
A lot of times, you know, they have a demographic in mind when they try and get these laws in place or when they have enacted laws, but they could be disenfranchising their own people without realizing it.
Because they think because their prejudice doesn't allow them to think that their own people
have these kind of issues. What? We're talking about the politics and stuff now. Let's go into Super Tuesday. And if you like, I can bring up a couple quick articles. And maybe surprisingly, not surprisingly, these three articles all involve Donald Trump leading up to and at the polls. So, try and wrap these all into one, and then we can discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
But first one was a black student's removed from Trump rally in Georgia. Then we had white supremacists broadcasting from inside Trump rallies.
Mm-hmm.
and uproar over the Nevada caucus poll workers who were wearing Trump shirts during the polls. So Trump won big on Super Tuesday. Yep. He's been winning big at the majority of these primaries so far. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he is going to be the Republican candidate unless they just decide to completely break tradition, which I think they're, which I have some very strong opinions or ideas on how that.
I think they're going to
debate that with my wife. But looking at these three articles here, and there was more. There was at least two issues with Trump rallies and efforts to silence people who don't agree with Trump at these rallies. There's the Secret Service agent who chokeslammed the Times, Time photojournalist yesterday or day before. I guess it was the day before the Monday. Excuse me. It was the day before the polls. And then we had students of Valdosta State University who were removed before the rally, before they even did anything. Just they were there. They were going to protest.
Yeah.
They didn't even get a chance to do their thing. Yeah. Which, not legal.
To be there. Yeah.
It's open assembly. You can't just escort people out who aren't doing anything. Nope. You have to be doing something disruptive or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
well, they were doing something. They were being black at a Trump rally. Present.
And then we hear that, oh, there were white supremacists who were filming their shows in the middle of the Trump rally. And we didn't even mention his tacit support or approval of support from the KKK by David Duke, because he didn't go out of his way to say anything against it until after the voting was done. So what do you think of this and the results from Tuesday?
Well, as far as him Super Tuesday and him winning what, seven states? He has now reached the point that the Republicans' code-worded crap has finally come back to bite them, and they've created the monster Donald Trump, whose blatant racism is winning him major league support, as opposed to the code-worded racism of the other candidates, which is amazing to me, because you have two, like, sons of immigrant, two Latinos on the ticket. and at least they will say something about policy.
No.
Have you ever heard Trump
he's made
policy?
Inflammatory statements, but no policy
he's
statements.
He's winning hugely. Right. And don't get me wrong, none of the Republican candidates are actually any better than Trump. He's just bombastic in how he says the stupid stuff they all say. It's scary, man. I mean, you and I are both students of history. I don't want to say he's Hitler-like, but he's definitely pushing the fascist buttons, and he's definitely stirring up a lot of racial tension with the things that he is saying and doing. Him, like, not just blatantly saying, "I would never accept an endorsement from David Duke from Jump Street." Him not coming out and, like, him saying, "I don't know anything about white supremacy or white supremacists." Come on, man. I mean, hey, it's come out that your dad was a KKK member. How can you say you don't know these
things? Because he stayed in one of his apartments and was talking about how racist he was, and then his dad was actually fined for violating the Housing Authority Act, the Equal Housing Authority Act. So when Donald Trump says his father's legacy is his legacy, I think he means it. But, you know, at the same time, I honestly, and I'll probably get blowback on this, do not believe that he believes what he's saying when it comes to these highly charged issues on race. I don't believe it. I'm not saying he's a closet lover of blacks and Latinos and Mexicans. I don't think that's true either, but I don't believe he's as racist as he's portrayed to be and how he's trying to make himself appear.
I don't think you'll get blowback from that, because I don't think anybody believes Donald Trump believes anything he says, because he he's bounces around so much on his positions. He supported Hillary Clinton for who knows how many years, and now all of a sudden he hates her.
But at the same time, that does not excuse
the things that he's saying and doing.
I mean, I'll bring this up now because it right now, relates, and again, you know, just looking at the time, but we were talking beforehand about an article that describes that the number of hate groups rose 14% in 2015, and majority of those were black and white hate groups increased. Majority were white hate groups, though. And if you look at the timeline, it dovetails nicely when this political cycle began, and a lot of it can be traced back to the things that Trump has said. Obviously, with his big wins, he's tapped into something and brought it out publicly that we've known has been private feelings for a long time in certain people, or certain sectors, I should say.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, with certain sections of people, I mean, let's think about this for a second. And I've said this on Facebook, I'll say it here. When white supremacists run for public office in America, they run as Republicans. So all these Republicans running around, jumping up and down, talking about, oh my God, that's so racist, no, we can't have that. You're full of it. You're full of it.
Yeah.
Because you've made a home for these racists since Nixon, with the Southern strategy, with Ronald Reagan going to Philadelphia, Mississippi, with the Welfare Queen speech, and all the madness that's come out of the Republican Party, low-key dog whistling against black people.
I would say they've
for my entire existence on planet Earth.
To publicly distance themselves. I mean, they've always had those people who were just out there with it, you know, publicly, but at the same time, as a party, they were trying to move away from that.
Right.
Not that they were becoming a party of inclusion or anything. So what I think Donald Trump has done has tapped into that.
Right.
Because the establishment, even if they believe what he says, they're still not willing to say it. And it's scaring them because more they're losing control of the party. And now this is my theory that I was saying to my wife, that Donald Trump there, I still think he could be the biggest troll ever, because if they do something to change their standard practices to not elect him or put him up as the Republican choice for president, that the majority of the people who vote Republican are either going to write him in regardless, or they're going to abstain from voting in large numbers, because they have proven that they are tired of a lot of the nonsense that everyone else has been fed up with, the obstructionism, you know, the hateful speeches and everything else, and the fear mongering that they do. So with that, and plus the just non-electability, I think, of Trump on a wider scale, when he has to face all Americans and get all of their votes, I don't believe that's going to happen, which will by default, because we can now talk about the Democrats.
Right.
Clinton's pretty much the shoo-in. I mean, Sanders would have to do some incredible stuff to pass her to be the nominee for the Democrats. But I think that what Trump has really done has solidified her being next president.
Yeah, I mean, now there is the thing where
which is my
right now Democrats are not Democrats. Turning out.
They'll talk a good game, but they won't come out to vote.
Right. Yeah, they're not coming out. They're not coming out to vote, and Republicans are coming out to vote in record numbers. I don't know if that's part of the backlash from there having been a black president. I don't know if that's part of the backlash from, or they're just more hyped up because they've caught on to this celebrity who's said some of the racist garbage that they've wanted to say for years, and it just hasn't blown up on him yet. I honestly think that once the primaries die down, I don't think Republicans are going to get the same kind of turnout they're getting right now.
I also think that
in a general election, I really don't.
Republicans, maybe more so than the Democrats, like not talking about party, but people who vote Republican, are more fed up with Washington because the people have been in charge and they thought that they were going to do things and they have done nothing.
Well, I mean, let's think about this. I mean, Republicans under the second Bush held everything most of his two terms. And, you know, you hear Republicans scream anti-abortion, 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 anti-abortion. They didn't move anything. They didn't try to move anything until Obama got into office. And now all of a sudden it's, we have to push anti-abortion. Why? Why are you pushing it now? Because this guy's here.
Dying off.
Okay. Fake much? Gun rights. Yeah. Gun rights.
But
fake
still,
much?
This,
I mean, seriously.
Votes for Trump are just more disillusionment with Washington
and with
the status quo, I would say. I hope that, if anything, this will convince Democrats and people who are independent to come out and vote to not just think about the presidential elections, but think about those seats that are up. I think there's going to be six Republican seats in the Senate that are going to be up. Yeah, but
well,
I mean,
there's only one Democrat seat in both houses.
And there's six Republican. So there's a chance to at least get the Senate back for the Democrats if people come out and vote them out. So, I mean, it'd be a small win, but a good win to have.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, it's to the point where the Republicans are actually fearful that if Trump becomes the nominee, not only would they lose the presidency in the Senate, but they have a chance at losing the House.
8 years, and now that their people are fed up as well, that there's going to be some changes. Again, this is more hopeful thinking in the way I think things should go based on what we've seen historically, but there's obviously no guarantee on how people are going to vote once they actually get there. The fact that Trump has gone this far has already...
No, absolutely not.
Ruined a bunch of bets, you know, that I had.
It's kind of blown up my whole way of looking at this current election. I still think right now, I still think Hillary's the nominee. Hillary's going to be the president. But Trump is kind of like outperforming any expectation he's had. Me personally, I've heard from pundits of them possibly going for a brokered convention, and that's why you're seeing
I just saw that.
I mean, Ben Carson dropped out today, but finally, but I think you're going to see Kasich hang in at least until Ohio's primary. And he should have dropped out, but I don't think he's going to, because what I think is happening is the more establishment Republicans, and let's face it, Kasich and Rubio are the two establishment Republicans. And I think they're going to stay in to try to get delegates they can get. and go into that convention in Cleveland and try.
Well, and see, here's the thing. They could do it.
Blow
if
up
Rubio
Trump's nomination.
As well, and Kasich. So it just left Cruz. But here's the thing. The only person the Republican Party hated more than Trump for their choice is Cruz. But they're going to look at Cruz.
It's Cruz.
He's in the best position to be their savior now as someone who's at least somewhat in that system. And I just, Trump was correct when he said in the Republican debates that he doesn't have any support from any senators or congressmen in his party. Oh, well, I mean, he shut down the government. And
well, because he went in there and ran his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But this was
and
not
he's
going
a,
into
and
Super
he's a
Tuesday. You knew at the end of the day, and again, not trying to be racist, but you have a white person and you have two Cubans as your choice in the South. Now, I was surprised.
Yeah, who's going to win that match?
Well,
who's going to win
really
that?
Surprised, I guess, by him taking Massachusetts. Yeah. It's a little of a shock, but not a far stretch. So that's why I say, yeah, Trump.
Who, Trump?
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, just a
little. I wasn't surprised by him getting Massachusetts. New York is right there.
I thought they might go for one of the lesser candidates because of he's Trump. But I wasn't real shocked.
Right.
But it was, like I should say. So no, there weren't any really big surprises there. But the fact that they had still five candidates for the Republicans when they should have been consolidating, and if they were serious about getting rid of Trump much sooner, dropping out. But because of the type of personalities that they draw to that party, it's inevitable that they all are going to spoil each other's chances. They've done it every single election up to this point.
They have blown themselves up over and over and over and over again. And I see them doing it again, but I see so much, I mean, the anger and rage that I hear on local talk radio with the so-called Yenzer conservatives, which is a dumber breed of conservative,
I don't know what that is.
Dumbest breed of conservative I've come across.
Oh.
That would be the Pittsburgh conservative.
I thought you were going for, but I just hadn't heard
that. Yeah, you missed when I said Yenzer, huh? I mean, dude, if you hear some of the people that call into this talk show and you hear them talk, or you see the things they type on the Facebook page of the host. Well, that's what I need to do, but it's like I listen to the radio 3 hours a day. Excuse me. I listen to the radio 3 hours a day, and it's like I switch back and forth between what I consider a mid to conservative show and a far left show. And it's like I'm trying to like hear stuff and get some opinions. The far left show is actually a comedy show. The local show is the mid conservative show. And I mean, the guy tries to be middle of the road. He's more conservative. He admits it. But the people that call into this show are some of the dumbest
pecks
of skin I've ever listened to in my life.
I only like intelligent conversation about
politics. Don't. It hurts after a while. I get a headache and I change.
No, I can.
Yeah, I get a headache and change the channel. I really do. Very rarely can I listen anymore.
Civil, which admittedly now that's few and far between. But I find the shows where they do, and it seems to work for me. So.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, send me a list because I need them too. But it's, it's like what the Republicans are now getting.
I would agree with that.
Reaping
yes.
the storm they have sown. I mean, for our whole lifetimes, they have courted the racist. They've allowed them in. Let's look at they embraced the Tea Party. The biggest dumb meat sacks in existence. And y'all embraced them and emboldened them and you put them in power.
I would just say they strategically remain silent in a lot of ways. Because I don't believe that all Republicans are racist. I mean, I was a Republican for a while during that period you're talking about. But
no. Well, okay. Well, let me put it like this. I don't believe all Republicans are racist. Okay. But again, like I said earlier, when you have a white supremacist or a racist running for office, they don't run as Democrats. And there's a reason for that. Okay, let's put it like this. Not since Strom Thurmond and the crew left the dang party. Okay. Not since the Democrats decided to add an integrationist plank to their platform back in the mid-50s.
Concern for a single party.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Racism is racism, and it's racism, period. I'm just saying, there are, but no. Put it like this. If a Democrat comes out and says some outright racist stuff, they usually end up getting relegated to the back room and beat half to death. Whereas with the Republicans right now, they're just like, go out on front street, say whatever.
Their discontent is registered by their silence. Which is not enough. I mean, we could agree that's not enough. They have never been the party that will just outright come and say that this is wrong. This person is wrong for saying these things. They just don't. They just withdraw support for that person.
They did it today. They've done it today. Paul Ryan got his Eddie Munster looking behind up and jumped up and down and said, no, that's wrong. Mitt Romney said, no, that's wrong. Meanwhile, I remember both of you two idiots saying some of the most dog whistless racist stuff.
I think Paul Ryan
4 years ago.
A good person for the Republicans. I don't agree with all his politics, obviously, but I think that he tries to be a lawmaker, you know, and the strictures of his party.
He fails miserably. He like the rest of them, fails miserably, because anybody who would go and use government stuff to get where they are and then turn around and attempt to deny it to anyone else and call all the other people who were trying to make it just like he did lazy.
Let's see. Move on.
Well, you know,
really gone on time here. But let's see
One thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, there's two things, and this is more in our miscellaneous news. First was small dust up at Facebook. They have a wall where the company encourages employees to write things on the wall that, you know, generally positive or whatever comes to mind. Some people just sign their names or whatever. And someone who works there put Black Lives Matter slogans on the wall. And then some other employees came behind and kept wiping them out. And Mark Zuckerberg had to send out something in the company notices to say that, you know, this is not acceptable. He was, his exact words were, despite my clear communication at Q&A last week that this was unacceptable and messages from several other leaders from across the company, this happened again. I was already very disappointed by this disrespectful behavior before, but after my communication, I now consider this malicious as well. So, what's your opinions on that?
Well, we discussed this a little bit before we started. Us coming from two different work histories, we kind of look at it a little bit differently. I'm usually the only black guy or one of two black guys, and I get to hear all of the pro-conservative misunderstanding of black people, you know, stuff like that. Not so much at this job that I have now, but at other jobs I've had throughout my life. Facebook and tech companies are known for having very Facebook low populations of minorities, especially blacks.
2% of their workforce is black, but 55% is white, 36% Asian, and 3% Hispanic.
Right.
Based on 2015 numbers.
Right. Right. So,
we don't know
the black person, we're assuming it's a black person, because there are white people because we're assuming they're black, who wrote all Black Lives Matter. There are white people that support that movement. But if the assumption is correct and that person is black, we don't know what they deal with on a day-to-day basis in their work atmosphere. So them putting up Black Lives Matter and having somebody come along and put in the actual reasonable sounding but very racist All Lives Matter is a thing. And I applaud Mark Zuckerberg for coming out against that, because my understanding of the rules of this wall were that
you could put up anything. All kinds of stuff. There's pictures of it
within reason.
Out there. This news article came from Newsweek, if you want to look for yourself.
Right. 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 So also, it's funny to me because the thing is, with Facebook, it's good to see a CEO do something like that, but Facebook itself, if you go on and you have a problem with something on Facebook, like when you had multiple pages pop up showing Trayvon Martin's dead body on joke posts, there was recently one posted last night with this guy who inboxed this black woman, called her the N-word a dozen times, and was describing in detail how he would kill her because she put up something pro-black, and Facebook punished her and said that what this guy did didn't violate any type of policy. I've put up Facebook complaints before about something that I saw as racist, and they told me it didn't violate anything.
So
it's kind of like weird. Facebook is kind of like this.
And again,
speaker.
We talked about this before, but
you know,
I don't think that whoever put that on the board should have put that on there, because to me, when you're at work, things like politics, religion, you know, that has no place at work. If you have issues, say EEO type issues at work, you go through your department's complaint process and you report that and all that. But I think that putting something like this is just opening the door to create a situation where there's going to be bad blood. Because at the end of the day, when you're in the workplace, you need to work with people from all different backgrounds and beliefs. And those things are too inflammatory. So in my opinion, the situation was created by the person putting that statement on there in the first place. Again, look at the demographics. 2% black. Again, not saying that the person who wrote it was black. We could probably assume. And they're outnumbered. You can expect that.
You're right.
So, having said that, though, I agree with you that his stance is good within the company to say that, you know, we must respect people, because that's the other part of it. And that's part of the main reason why you don't introduce this stuff in the workplace. So that you keep your focus on your task and not on these personal issues. But when they come up, you have to address it. And he addressed it quickly, promptly, and in the appropriate manner to say, we respect everyone. This is not acceptable. And so you know from the boss that that's the case. But on the flip side, what you're saying is very true. There's things that are put on there, but then it shows the subjectivity of this whole matter with race in a public sphere on the internet, where Twitter has had issues like this as well. Where people put things up. I don't go on Facebook much. I mean, I've got select people on there. I don't just go searching for other things. I'm very targeted. I'll look at my list of people I've approved to be on there, or I approve
right.
to have me on their stuff, you know, befriend it, people, a friend. But beyond that, I
right.
don't really get anything from Facebook. I get stuff from you, which is good. You, like, open my eyes to some things because I don't do that. So I
right.
found some new sites and stuff.
Right.
But, and it's because of that. I see Facebook as a way
right.
to engage with people I know,
mm-hmm.
not just engage with the world at large. For that, I
right.
go to Twitter, where the interaction is very much controlled
right.
because, again,
mm-hmm.
I subscribe to people I want to see things from. And if there's things, like there were some comedians I subscribed to in the past, and then their tweets
right.
start going a little funny for me, I would drop them. And same with Facebook. You know, I have family members, and I don't agree
right.
with stuff they're posting, so I drop them. So I sanitize it that way. Yeah, but it's
right.
because
no,
of what you're saying, that's why I do that.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right. And, I mean, there was stuff on Facebook
yeah.
that I never yeah. thought I would block anybody. You know me. I'm pretty thick-skinned, and if I say something,
right.
I generally am able to back up what I'm saying or at least have a point to what I'm saying. But, I mean, it got to the point where I had people just outright attacking me, and they'd come on my page and start talking trash on, like, they would say something about my wife or something about where I worked. I had one guy say, oh, yeah, well, you have cartoon characters in your profile picture. Well, that says a lot about
See,
your maturity.
I never
I'm
get
like,
any of that, because like I said... Oh,
what, you're an art critic now? I mean, you know, I've gotten that because I've said, dude, I don't agree with what you said about this, that, or the other. And then they come back at me ignorant, and, you know, I might bite back depending on my mood. But I turned around and I just like, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm not dealing with this because
oh.
this person just wants to keep antagonizing me. Doesn't matter what
and
I say.
That was one time
so
I did respond to something like that to
block.
One of your
and I just
posts,
started
and
blocking
you know that whole
and
thing that happened briefly. And it's like, yeah, that's why I don't respond to this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which one it was.
No,
but
it wasn't
yeah,
you. It was
and it was probably it was probably something that I said that was like a good
and
point.
It turned into a much bigger situation than.
Oh, okay. You know what, I think I halfway
yeah.
remember that. And it was, it ended up being dumb. And I think
right.
I jumped in and was like,
but
wait
I mean,
a minute, because this isn't what he's saying. He's trying to say
Facebook
this.
Because I know that there's people who, they troll Facebook
right.
looking for that stuff. You know,
right.
Yeah. And I'm not an arguer. It's like, I'll
looking
debate,
for, looking for stuff
to,
me, to argue about.
Arguing. Because they're having a reasoned
mm-hmm.
discussion. Facebook
right.
doesn't allow a lot of that. To
right.
happen.
People on Facebook think that debate means belittling and putting down. And I myself have fallen into that trap more than once. I tend to win.
I just
but it really it's not worth it. It's tiring.
I think I'm still just
I find myself I'm like oh that's nice and scroll past
the
light now.
As and I mean that if we're in a room talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
if I would not say that to you face to face, I'm not going to feel free to say that to
right.
you over the internet. So because you don't have
right.
that cue of looking at someone's facial expressions or hearing the tone of their voice. I'm a lot more reserved in what I put out there. And a lot of times
right.
I just choose not to because you can't get that context across. And like that one instance was one of those
right.
cases where the context was lost. But I'm sure if we were face to face, that person would have understood
right.
What I was saying. So
again,
that's probably
from,
just
yeah.
me being old fashioned in that way. I still think communication is.
Well, communication is important, and it's supposed to be personal. And it's like, me, if I, Nico claims I turn into a total a-hole when I get on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I can, depending on the subject and who I'm talking to and what the subject is. Yeah, I can go a little hard. I admit to it. People who know me know I can get a little rough about stuff verbally. Especially when I know what I'm talking about. At the same time, it's unnecessary for me to do so. But sometimes I like to, because I can't do it, I don't want to do it with my wife. I don't want to do it, and sometimes I need to blow off steam. So I might do it then, but I don't necessarily want to all the time, because it's like, yeah. What's the point? You're doing, what is the point in doing all of this? You know, so now I've just gotten to the point where I hit people with really sarcastic
memes. Let's go on to another thing that makes me scratch my head. This article is from Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. Several congressmen actually voted against naming a post office after Maya Angelou. This, to me, is ridiculous. You had several Republicans who voted against the bill to name the post office because of Maya Angelou. No real justification. Only one of them put forward a justification. And that was, let's see if I can find his name here. Representative Andy Harris from Maryland. Okay, his parents escaped communism, and he feels he cannot vote to name a post office in the United States in honor of someone who supported the communist Castro Revolution in Cuba. First, where are you getting this from?
I never heard that about Maya Angelou.
American artist of great renown. She's been in the White House for
wasn't she the poet laureate of the United States? Republican and Democrat?
Sorry for your parents' communist experiences in another country.
Yeah.
But I don't remember her ever. Yeah, has Maya Angelou ever...
In a country that doesn't exist anymore?
I don't think so. If anything, she's probably apolitical.
I never heard of that.
So the others who were... Mo Brooks from Alabama, Ken Buck from Colorado, Michael Burgess from Texas, Jeff Duncan from South Carolina, Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin, Thomas Massey from Kentucky, Alex Mooney from West Virginia, and Stephen Palazzo from Mississippi, and Alaska didn't want to be left out, Don Young.
Sometimes I think we should just sell Alaska.
The measure still went through because 371 people decided.
All just because of Sarah Palin.
Was worthy of having a post office named after her. That just boggled my mind.
These are the same people who would break their neck to name yet something else after Ronald Reagan. I can't wait for the fight to name an aircraft carrier after President Obama. Considering they just threw one at President Bush, and will probably throw one at the second President Bush.
There will be lots of stuff named after President
Obama. But we can't name a post office after.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole lot of stuff named after him now. They're usually schools, but I'm just saying here.
I don't know. That seems to me a very annoying thing to make a point of.
Why do they?
Something that again people should think about when it comes to election time.
But they don't. They really don't. I mean, at least here in Pittsburgh, I don't know. You've lived more places than I have. People vote for people on name recognition a lot.
But anyways, we talked about that last week, or 2 weeks ago.
And, would you believe she's getting it
because
a higher percentage of the black vote than even President Obama had did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but she did. She comparing the numbers, she is currently getting a larger percentage of the black vote than President Obama did when he was running.
Politically aware than they were before.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But yeah, it's like here in this area, if your last name happens to be Costa, Flaherty, there's another one. Ravenstahl now, not so much, but to a lesser extent. You're getting votes. Especially if your name is Acosta, if you're Acosta, good Lord. I mean, there was this one guy, you never even heard of him on the news or whatever. All he did was put a giant Costa on his signs, and it turns out that he was like a fifth cousin to the actual Costas or something, and they didn't even know, barely knew him or some craziness. He didn't win, because I guess they ended up coming out against him. But the fact is that he tried it. You know what I mean?
So we have two more articles left. One in our miscellaneous and one for entertainment. Next one is positive. Black president, yay.
Mm-hmm.
106-year-old finally meets the Obamas and dances like a schoolgirl. This was an article I found in the Washington Post, but it was pretty much everywhere on Facebook, YouTube. And this woman, Virginia McLaurin, she is 107, almost 107 years old. She wanted her whole life to see the president, like any president. She wanted to visit the president in the White House. But she was overwhelmed to actually meet the president and that it was a black president, and she was alive to be able to see that. And also, she was very pleased that his wife was black.
Yes.
So what's that say, Matt?
Yes. Well, it says several things to me. It says, this is a woman who lived long enough to see something she probably never thought she would see.
Yeah.
I mean, she lived to be 106 or 107. She's still living now. My great grandmother didn't live to see it. None of her brothers or sisters lived to see it. My mother didn't live to see it. My dad didn't live to see it. His parents didn't live to see it. And here's this woman who literally got to see almost every first of the modern age.
Racial segregation at its height.
Two world wars, some of the first cars.
Cause she's from South
racial
Carolina
segregation
originally.
At its heights. Lynchings, all these things she got to see and overcome. The civil rights movement from its infancy, and if you really want to think of it in its infancy, it was World War II, the modern one anyway.
Children hanging from trees just because they were black.
Yeah. Yes. And here she is. She sees a black man in the White House, not cleaning floors, not doing construction, not being subservient. He lives there. He's the man who runs the country. And his wife is there, and they're together.
It's very impressive.
And she goes up and dances with him. I thought it was the cutest thing ever.
Interesting story. I mean, you can imagine someone who's lived as long as she has, but the things that she experienced, that was the joy to cause her to dance and meeting the president. I mean, she lost her husband in 1941.
Yes.
He was in the army, presumably killed during the war.
I mean,
it doesn't say if he was overseas or not.
Right.
She had been.
Right.
I assume because he was in the army, but
well, in 1941, I mean, couldn't have been too much. Yeah.
She had been a widower.
Right.
Ever since. But but it's just incredible.
Right. She never remarried. Wow. Yeah, it is. And like I said, not And I think, you know, maybe when you're 106 and you've lived through the things she lived through, you got a little bit of prejudice yourself, and there's this old thing through the black community, some of the black community, where
yeah,
a successful black man usually isn't with a black woman. And she saw that, and that might have been where that statement came from, and a black wife. I mean, who knows? I'm assuming. But, you know, she was so happy, and as positive as the story was, there were people that tried
and the last
to knack
article
into something
I had was
negative.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You had something, too, for entertainment, I think. But let me go through this first. Sorry. There's a magazine
DC
that was published
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
From 1952 to 1974 called If. It was a science fiction magazine that covers stories just of the most fantastical things you can imagine from the sci-fi from that era. Well, they have put all of their issues online for free. And I saw this article also on Ars Technica. You can now read the entirety of Sci-Fi Magazine If for free. So if you want to go on there, you can look at them. They're available via the Internet Archive, which also, as a side note, recently they put a bunch of old video games on the Internet Archive that you can play in your browser. It's very cool. There's tons of old video games. Like arcade video games. Not so much the ones at home. They have those too.
Oh, okay.
But they're... Yep. But you can find...
Maybe I'll find Modem Wars that way.
This on, like I said, the Internet Archive, or go find the article on Ars Technica. Okay. Yeah. You can go.
Okay, cool. That's cool. Okay. The DC Universe is rebooting again. They say it's not a reboot, but I don't know. They're calling it Rebirth. And the little bit that I've come across about it is that they will go back to the original numbering. So if, I guess this means if, Detective Comics is supposed to be on issue 1000, that's what issue is going to be. Issue 1000, so whatever.
I guess it's fine, not just their sales numbers, but
they've spent
That's what I'm wondering, because they've been changing.
Well, DC is getting their butts kicked as far as sales goes. Marvel is selling okay, but Marvel's starting to feel those effects too, with these constant reboots and redos and new number ones and this, that, and the other. But Marvel is still making out because from interest.
I just wonder how
from
much of these
the
changes
movies,
are
which
driven
have
by
been highly successful.
The artists just tired of doing the same thing, so they're constantly trying to challenge themselves. And how much of it is they think there's a demand from the readers to change it? Because I don't see,
It's not the artists. It's the corporate end of it. The good of the corporate end of it is we are now starting to get more diversity.
I like the
current Hulk is Asian. In some of these situations, I don't like it. The original Captain America is coming back, but Sam Wilson is still going
to
be Captain America.
I like how they
had to
pit them against each other.
So
I say like when I don't really like.
Yeah.
I know.
It made for an interesting story arc that I haven't been able to follow. And it's like this Black Panther starting up again next month. With a new look. Actually, the Black Panther is kind of responsible for the current Marvel Universe in the form it's in now. With all of the diversity. If you read Secret Wars, he's the one who put everything
Marvel
back
Unlimited,
because he had control of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Civil War, so then I was going into Secret War.
Well, he ends up with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, okay.
then he ends up saying, okay, I did it. And, you know, and it was a long setup too, because it actually went through the New Avengers, well, the previous run of New Avengers, where it was basically Marvel's Illuminati. But to get back to DC, apparently the Milestone Universe was supposed to come back. Nobody knows if that's happening now. It was supposed to launch sometime this year. It still might. But yeah, they're calling it Rebirth or something like that. And I'm just like, you know, my comic book dollars are few and far in between, and I dang sure ain't gonna waste them on another set
before,
of number ones.
I wait till sales come and try and pick stuff up. But I spend so much time going through Marvel's back catalog.
Yeah.
I stopped really buying the new comics because most of the ones I read are Marvel and not DC anyway. And they've been really good about putting newer ones. So some of them, like the Star Wars series, those are only a few months behind on Unlimited.
And I mean, for me, I still want the tactile feel of the book itself, but I understand why you've gone digital, especially if you can get it to where you can just read the arts.
I like the Lando series. You bought the book. You got the digital copy.
Yeah,
so
the space.
I would do some of those, but then it came to be a space issue. Plus, you know, I read them mainly on my iPad or now my phone.
Right.
I have the app on there. So I can, as long as I have a Wi-Fi connection, well, not even that, because you can download up to 12 at once and keep them on your device. But it's just real quick, you know, at lunch or something, I can whip it out, read a comic, get back to work or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to do. I mean, it's something to consider for me. And like I said, it's just they've made the number one issue thing completely worthless. There's no such thing as a number one that's worth a damn anymore. You know, because they've been rebooting universes every 5 years. You know, and that's the corporations being greedy, not reading what the public wants, because the smart thing that they've done is now they have all ages comic books, and now they have more adult comic books, which is cool. But with the more adult books, they keep rebooting the runs. How much can you do to Superman? He's Superman. You can cut his powers down a little bit. You can make him even more godlike.
That's true.
It don't matter if you're not writing the stories well. You know what I mean? It's Superman. Superman can do anything. It's Batman. Batman can do almost anything.
Yeah.
Which has gotten annoying to me with Batman. And it's just like, okay, you're going to reboot it again. Stop rebooting it. Get it on a set of stories. Make a story arc. Run it. Write it well. Do good art.
But all I have for this week. Did you have anything, Matt? This episode went a little longer, but at the same time,
we're
doing them every 2 weeks, so there's a lot more information that we're covering. So it may be a little longer to cover all that material. It's just, for now, the best way we can do it and still manage our time and our personal lives, and still keep up. There's some things that we're going to be doing very soon. Hopefully get the, episodes out there in a wider audience and everything. If you would like to comment, please, we encourage you to go to our website, believethat.blackvalor.net, and you can leave comments on the forum there. You can send an email to believethatnews@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to reply on there. We also have a Facebook and Twitter page on Believe That News. So that is all we had, and we will see you in 2 weeks.